Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Oh, man, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We are calling this the catch-up show. Me and Keys have been off for the past couple weeks, and I think the last time we talked to you guys, we were giving our predictions for UFC 295. So since 295, a lot of things have happened, and we're going to go over a couple of those. And, of course, we're going to talk about the big fight card this weekend, UFC Austin. A lot going on with that one. Definitely a banger of a card to close. No, this ain't even the close of the year out, because maybe this is the close of the year out. Yeah, maybe this is the last one. Yeah, I think this is the last event of the year. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight. But first and foremost, let me introduce my co-host. What's going on, Keys, man? How you doing, man? Happy holidays to you, bro.
Happy holidays to you, too, my man. Merry Christmas. I'm out here. It's been like four or five weeks. And that light bulb, I got to change that light bulb. Anyways, yeah, it's been like 4 or 5 weeks. My bad, y'all. A lot of things have been happening. It's been tough for your boy. But we back out here. We're going to recap everything. I put together, you know, a mental list, and plus we tweeted it out so you could see the topics that we want to go over. You had a whole bunch of stuff, 295, 296, UFC Austin. Darius is fighting this weekend. He's an underdog again. Once again, we had doubting Daniil Dariush, like he's a bum, but somehow he wins 98% of his fights, so I don't know, somebody lying. And, you know, Patchy Mick, here's how Patchy Mick, WWE, we got to talk about CM Punk, you know, I got to ask you about that. And I don't know if you've seen the hashtags, or you can even just pick from what I just said, or whatever you have in your mind, let's kick it off.
All right, man. So let's just go back, man. Let's go back to the last time we talked, man. UFC 295. We crowned two champions on that night. We had Alex Pereira become the new light heavyweight champion, and then a shocker, we had Aspinall become the new heavyweight champion. Real quick, what's your thoughts on the two champions, man?
So I'll say this. Aspinall completely shocked me. I think he shocked the whole world with that. He pretty much KO'd, and I lost money on that too. I definitely bet Pavlovich, because the last time when I predicted it, when he fought Curtis Blaydes, I was like, yo, Curtis Blaydes, he's my man. But we got to call a spade a spade. He loses to all the heavy, how the heavy punches. He loses to all the heavy punches. You know what I mean? Curtis Blaydes, you're my man. But we gotta just keep it all the way 1,000. You know what I mean? You lose to the heaviest punches, and I said Pavlovich is gonna be a first round knockout. You know what I mean? And Curtis winning that. You know what I mean? So my whole point is that I didn't bet Pavlovich the last time. I should have. Now I bet him this time, and there we go. Tom Aspinall shocks me, shocks the world, shocks Lee, shocks everybody. That was crazy, you know, in the first round too. You know what I mean? Puts out the guy that's been putting out all the guys and devastates them. You know what I mean? Out cold, gone. Like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? I thought if Aspinall was going to win, I thought he was going to submit him. I thought that would have been his game plan. I thought he would have looked to try to, you know, weather the storm early, take him down, find a submission, maybe even a standing submission. But, you know, obviously, yeah, he clearly wanted to go – his own way with it and beat the guy who's been, you know, at his own game. And that was amazing performance. So shout out to Tom Oscar on the interim heavyweight champ. I hope to see him fight for the undisputed title next. It shouldn't be against John Jones. I'm not trying to wait a year for these dudes to fight. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to wait. Let's have Aspinall fight Stipe for the undisputed title. I think that's the fight to make. And if Stipe don't want to fight, that's fine. Go be a firefighter. I'm all set. Have Tom fight the next guy up or Cyril Gane for the undisputed title, and then Jones, Stipe can fight when, you know, whenever they want to fight in 5 years or whenever that is. And secondly is Alex Fajeda. That is one that I did bet Alex Pereira, so that I was right on that one. There was a profit boost for him to win by KO, TKO, and that was an easy one. And the stoppage looked weird at first, but then when they played it back, I saw it. It wasn't like the Cyborg one that everybody got all up in arms about at me when I said it looked like a fix, which it did look like a fix. To this day, it looks like a fix, but all good. Much love to Cyborg. And second is, yeah, that stoppage was fine. It looked weird at first, the way, you know, Jerry just kind of, he was like hitting him with, elbows? I think it was, or
elbows.
Something like that. He was doing something kind of like unorthodox, you know what I mean, the way the strikes looked. And then Jerry just kind of fell. Like, it looked weird, but then when I saw it and they played it from a different angle, I saw it and I was like, yo, Jerry was gone, bro. I saw the shots land and then and the elbows were hitting and he was gone. So, congrats. You know, I just hope Alex Pereira, you know, we can get some light heavyweight title defenses going and we can stop, you know, juggling the belt around, you know, because there's been so many different light heavyweight and heavyweight champions in the past 5 years. I would like to start seeing some title defenses get going. You know what I mean? So please, can we get Pereira versus the next guy? Please, like, no more with this and, you know, move into another division and then now the belt. Like, I could see Pereira doing that too. Like, that's the thing that kind of irritates me is I could see him being like, oh, I'm moving up, you know what I mean? I want to go for a third belt, and then he drops it, and then we have another vacant title fight. And if that happens, remember who said it first, if that happens, because I could see that happen. That's not an official prediction, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean? I'll put that at like a plus, you know, plus 200 odds for that to happen. Pereira says he's moving to heavyweight. He wants to get the heavyweight belt. And then we're going to have to wait even more, and there's going to be another vacant title fight. So congrats to both of them. But, you know, I got to go in on it because there's all these, you know, there's all these storylines that kind of spew off of it. So what do you think about them, though?
Well, as you know, the injured champion, Jamal Hill, he said something about the Alex Pereira fight. And then I chimed in, and he replied back to me. And I was like, yo, okay. Only thing I was saying was, why would you want to fight him in a stand-up fight? Because everybody know that's Pereira's bread and butter. Everybody know he can't wrestle. So my point was to the champ, to Jamal, was, why would you stand and bang with this guy when that's all he does? He comes from kickboxing. And if you know anything about kickboxing rules, ain't no clinching, ain't no holding. It's basically kicking and punching, basically in close quarters. But that being said, you know, it was cool to go back and forth with Jamal for a little bit. But Alex Pereira, I knew he would beat Jiří. I didn't see anything in Jiří's game that would scare Alex Pereira unless he took him down. But the Aspinall fight, whew. I thought the only chance he had of winning this fight was he had to survive the first round. I said if he could survive the first round, then he has a chance of winning this fight. Boy, did he prove both of me and you wrong. He came out in the first round, got it done, and, man, I know anybody that bet on him won a lot of money that night. I think his next fight, man, this actually might be a shocker to you. I don't want to see him fight Cyril Gane. I don't want to see him fight Stipe. I want to see him fight Gelton Almeida, man. I think Almeida, man, at number 7, I kind of like the way he looked. I want to see Almeida up there, but they probably don't get him Cyril Gane or maybe if Stipe accepts the fight. But I think Stipe is going to wait on John Jones. I think he knows that's a legacy fight, and he's going to wait on that. But you know, he just beat Pavlovich, who's ranked number 3 right now. Stipe, Curtis Blaydes. Curtis Blaydes, I think he's in a funny position that, you know, he just, like you said, he can't beat any of the heavy hitters. You know, so he's in a funny position. But I got to ask you about this, man, Keith, since we own it. I'm going to let you go ahead and talk about this guy because you was definitely blowing him up the night of the fight. We had Matt Frivola lose to Benoit St. Denis. Talk about St. Denis, man.
And I just want to point out that I'm totally cool with Jailton Almeida. Like, I wasn't shocked to hear you say that. I mean, that's just – Cyril Gane was just kind of like the first name that came to mind, but realistically, he's nowhere near the like, he's definitely not ahead of Jailton Almeida in the running. Like, if you really want to put him side by side, I mean, what has Cyril Gane done? Like, what has he done? He's lost. He's lost again and again. He's not, you know what I mean? He lost. Who did he fight? I don't even remember who he fought. You know what I mean? He fought Sergey Spivak. It's like, what? And then, and you know what's so funny about him? He lost some respect from me because you know why? I'll tell you why. I bet you didn't notice this, but Tom Aspinall, before the interim title fight, before he was the champion, Cyril Gane, when Tom Aspinall, his last fight, KO'd Tabora in the first round, which was in his previous fight during the summer. That was UFC London, you know, if you ask me, the best. That was UFC London and UFC Noche were the two best cards of the year, if you ask me, and it's not even close. But, anyways, knocked out Tabora first round UFC London, and then he's calling out Cyril Gane right after that. And then what did Cyril Gane say? Cyril Gane said, he wasn't interested in fighting Tom Aspinall. He doesn't want to fight up the ranks. He wants to fight for – he wants to get the fight that gets him closer to the title, or he wants to fight for the title. Now, so basically he ducked Tom Aspinall, right? And then once Tom Aspinall becomes a man of importance, of more importance, and he wins the interim title –
he calls him out.
Now who comes running? Little Cyril Gane comes running out in the headlines. Oh, now you want to fight with Tom Aspinall. Now that fight needs to happen. He's a joker. You know what I mean? That is a total coward move is what that is. Total coward. You know what I mean? The guy was that guy before that, and he was calling you out, and he had a great performance, a better performance than you've had in a while, if you really want to talk about it. When's the last time Cyril Gane has had a performance like Tom Aspinall's been having this year? I'll wait. I don't know when. Couldn't tell you. Probably 3 years, maybe longer.
It's been a while.
And the thing is this. The thing is this is that he's a sucker because he comes running back. It's the same thing that Jorge Masvidal did when Leon won the belt. Same exact attitude. Leon Edwards was calling out Jorge Masvidal the whole time. He was calling him out for a whole year plus, something like that, right? And Jorge Masvidal said he wasn't interested. Leon doesn't put butts in seats. He's not exciting. I want bigger fights, all this and that. Then as soon as Leon fights for the title, KO's Usman and wins the bout, who was the first guy calling out Leon Edwards? Little Jorge Masvidal. Same exact concept. You like how I just freestyled that off the top? That just hit me from left field. You know what I mean? I'm talking about Cyril Gane's, you know, pathetic ass, and now I got to talk about Masvidal's pathetic ass, because that's the same move that they made. You know what I mean? Oh, you don't care when he calls you out, but now you care because he has the belt. Okay. I'm fine with the Almeida fight because, you know, I'm quite sure I've been singing Almeida's praises on this show for a year plus. You know what I mean? So for a while. Since he was fighting his first couple fights, I was like, yo, this guy's that dude. Since he fought that Russian guy, I was like, yo, he's that dude. And regardless of what y'all want to say, he was a boring fight, the last one. I didn't get to see that fight. I was out and about that night. But, 25 minutes of control time, you know, really boring fight against whoever that was that he fought. Who cares? You know, the guy is dominant. He can finish fights. You know, he seemed to play that 1-8 for whatever reason. But dude can't finish fights. And who really looks like they have, who's really bringing more skills to the table than Jailton Almeida and Tom Aspinall right now? There's no other heavyweights even close. No one even close. Pavlovich was right there, but he just got KO'd stiff. You know what I mean? So he's out of the running for a little bit. He's got to win a fight, and then we'll talk about it. But Those are the two guys. So I'm super down. Let's do it. I'm good. John Jones, I'm sorry, bro. You the GOAT. I respect you a lot, but man, you can't just hold up the division every time, dog. You can't just do it to us. You can't just hold up. Same with Stipe. He wins the bout and then he wants to sit on it for a year plus every time. Every time. You know what I mean? And it's just, I'm tired of it, man. I've been defending Stipe for years, bro. I've been defending Stipe for years. How many times, how many times on the show have I defended Stipe, really, realistically? More than 10 times?
Yeah.
And you've defended him, too.
Yeah. That's because he's a GOAT. I mean, he a GOAT. But, you know, man, it's just like now, it's like, bro, you really have to fight now. I say John is out. You have a chance to regain the belt. What's the excuse? You was a firefighter and you was doing your thing for COVID, and we definitely hats off to you for that, but it's time to, if you're going to fight. If not, just go ahead and just call it what it is. You waiting on the big fight against John Jones. I mean, that's all needs to be said. I mean, I don't understand. So, but look, man, it's you really can't defend them, but at the same time, we understand. You know what I'm saying? So, we understand. But, yeah, man, Aspinall, man, I think what the UFC going to do, I think they're going to get him a fight, and if he wins, they're going to name him the undisputed heavyweight champion. I think they're going to basically have John Jones, when he come back, he's going to have to fight whoever the champion is to get the belt back. I mean, you can't have Aspinall defending the heavyweight belt as an interim champion. Who defends the interim belt? That's just stupid. So they're going to do the right thing by Aspinall, man.
Yeah, I mean, his next fight got to be for the real strap. You know, we're not doing a defensive interim title. It's not happening. You know, I saw some people saying that, you know, he should have to fight, fight Stipe or fight Cyril Gane for the interim title. It's like, bro, he already won the interim title. So cut all that out. We're not doing none of that. Like, what? What do we look like? Bellator? We look like Bellator that they sit there and they really had a guy defend his interim title in their Grand Prix tournament a couple months ago? Rafael Stotts. I don't know if you know Rafael Stotts. He's a solid bantamweight in Bellator, a super skilled guy. And he had won the interim title, and they put him in the Grand Prix. So basically, if he were to lose in the Grand Prix, he would lose his interim title. It's like, bro, what? The interim is supposed to be to set that guy up to fight the champ when they're ready. It's not about you win it and then you have to defend the interim title. Like, that is so corny. You know what I mean? What is that? What's the point of it being an interim bout if it doesn't guarantee anything? What is that? Just like, I'm just holding it? Like, I'm just play hot potato with it? Like, no. The interim champ fights the champ next. That's how that goes. You know what I mean? So Bellator is corny for that. And speaking of Bellator, I gotta talk about this. Patchy Mix, man, I don't know if you saw the finish. Patchy Mix is that dude, bro. I don't know if you know Patchy, but that guy is for real. Patchy Mick, do me a favor. Call Dana White, bro. Call Dana White. We need you in the UFC. That's where you need to be at, not PFL. PFL doesn't know what the hell they're doing with fights. They are completely lost. You are not fighting the PFL, bro. I'm sorry. You are not. And Bellator just merged with PFL, so that's basically like one company now. So they're both lost. So please just come to the UFC. You're the best guy there by far. You need to come over here and fight these bantamweights. That's what we need to see. Did you see the finish? He just I don't know who was the champ, if that was a defense or if he took the belt off Sergio Pettis, but he choked out Sergio Pettis in the second round. They said he made it look easy.
No, I didn't watch Bellator, but I did read that he dominated him. And, you know, Sergio been a champ for a while now. Because it seemed like he pretty much left USC and became a Bellator champion, even though I know it didn't happen like that. But I don't know, man. I don't think PFL is going to let him go, bro, especially being that they just acquired Bellator. I don't think they're going to let him go. I mean, they probably going to – well, they should view him as a star. So are you just going to just let him walk? I say no, unless PFL is telling the fighters, hey, if you want to stay with us, you can stay with us. If not, let us know and we'll release you. But – I don't see them just letting him go like that, especially if he's that good and he has a following. So I don't think they're just going to let him ride.
Well, and the thing is, too, like, I wasn't watching that Bellator card, but I was following the updates, and I knew it was on that night, so I just happened to see the playback of the finish. I was talking to Rain Man. Shout out Rain Man. I think it's Rain Man MMA. Yeah, Rayman MMA. Yeah, shout out Rayman. That's my guy. You know, we've been talking, and I think he had reposted it. Because I know he had bet on Patchy Mix, and I wish I saw it because I was like, yo, I should have known, man. I knew Patchy Mix was that dude. Like, I remember seeing his last fight before that that got him to the finals for that one. And he looked like a beast. And, like, Sergio Pettis is a beast, too, but, like, I don't know, man. I just feel like that one was kind of a clear-cut fight. You know what I mean? I feel like we all saw that one coming. Patchy Mix, you know, he was going to take that belt sooner or later. He just had to have the opportunity. And that dude's scary, bro. He's got crazy finishing power, crazy hands, crazy on the mat. He's a savage. So that was – shout out to him, man. I wish I could have got in on that bet, man. I think he was only, like, minus 200 or something, which isn't – that big of a favorite for what it probably should have been, because I feel like there was a big skill gap there. You know what I'm saying? There was a big skill gap there, and he probably should have been like minus 500 or something like that. But anyways, I gotta ask you about this though. Let's hop off MMA real quick, and we'll get back to it. I gotta ask you about this before I forget, because when I saw this, man, I was watching the videos. And you know I've been tapping back in with wrestling. We've been talking about wrestling on the show, WWE, AEW. And CM Punk, man, CM Punk returned at the WWE Survivor Series. And I just want to say, like, I wasn't there for the CM Punk era. Like, I was tuned out wrestling, you know, for that whole period of time. You know, probably from, man, I fell off of wrestling probably like 07, 08, maybe 09. I think 09, actually 09 was when I started like tapping in with the UFC a little bit. I was playing UFC Undisputed 09. That was the name of the game. It was UFC Undisputed 09. And that was when my first, you know, glimpses of the UFC. So, yeah, I think I fell off. And then during that time with CM Punk, you know, a lot of these other stars, Roman Reigns. But CM Punk is, like, really beloved, you know, in the WWE nation. You know what I mean? The WWE crowd, like, he is really beloved. And, like, I knew that, but, like, I didn't fully know it. Like, I thought it was just, like, he was a big carrot. Like, I thought he kind of felt that way of himself. I wasn't sure, like, how real the love was. But then when I saw the pop that he got, the crowd reaction to his return at Survivor Series, I was like, oh my God. And then all these TikToks that I was watching coming up in my feed of all different fans, and then what they're saying, I'm like, yo, this is like really a wholesome, beautiful moment, bro. It really is. No lie. Like, and even being someone that missed the CM Punk era, and I'm not really familiar with dudes, like, I've never even seen one CM Punk wrestling match before. Only time I've seen him compete was in the cage. And I knew he wasn't an MMA fighter. Like, I knew that was a hoax. You know what I mean? I knew. Yeah, like, I knew he wasn't an MMA fighter. I knew that was a hoax. I knew he was going to get smoked. But it was just like, when I see the reaction of other people, I'm like so happy for the fans, bro. I'm like, yo, this is like a really beautiful moment right now. This is fire. I'm like, yo, these people love CM Punk. I'm like, this is so dope, bro. And like, they just brought Randy Orton back too. Like, Randy Orton's that dude. But I gotta ask you though, And then I love Randy Orton. That was, like, when I was really watching was when Randy Orton was on. That was, like, during that era. But were you watching Survivor Series live when that happened?
Yeah.
Okay, so had you heard about because I had seen rumors, and I really don't like these, like, wrestling. Like, I really don't like the wrestling journalism stuff because, like, it just bothers me. It's like, bro, you're talking about an entertainment business. This is not the same thing as sports journalism or, like, you're reporting on the NBA. You're reporting on games that it's not based. These are just scheduled games, and that's the game. That's it. There's no, like, show in it. You know what I mean? Same thing with UFC. That's why I have no problem with UFC journalism. It's like, bro, there's no need for, like, it's not really – I mean, there is a surprise factor, but the matches are the matches. Like, me finding out which fight is scheduled and is being rumored for what date is not – like, that's not – that's it's not the same thing, you know what I mean? Because UFC is not – like, they're not, like, surprising us with fights. That's not how it goes. Like, the card is going to get announced eventually. So me learning about the fight months before it, you know, while it's being made or it's in negotiation, they get the contract, is not the same thing as all these wrestling journalists breaking the news, that basically saying that, like, CM Punk is rumored to be coming back at Survivor Series, and here's how they want to do it, and here's the storyline, and here's who he could possibly feud with, and here's the match he's going to come out in. And it's just like, dog, why are y'all doing this? Like, why are y'all doing this? Like, this is meant to be a show. You're supposed to be surprised by it. Like, I used to watch wrestling and be shocked at the shit that would happen. You know what I mean? I was a kid. I was – bro, when I watched the Elimination Chamber back in the day, and you had all the biggest names in this Elimination Chamber, there was, like – I think it was, like, a six-man – I think it was six-man Elimination Chamber.
Six-man,
and you had,
yeah,
like, all – you had all, like, top dogs. I don't know if you remember this one. It was a crazy one. Like, it was while John Cena was WWE champion, and he, I want to say it was, like, all the best guys. It was, like, you know, maybe Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Randy Orton, like, all those dudes were in there. It was, like, all the top dogs, you know what I mean? All guys. And I could be wrong with those names. I'm not sure exactly who was in it, but it was all, like, you know what I mean? This was a crazy Elimination Chamber. And then John Cena won that Elimination Chamber. You know, he beat all those dudes, and it was a crazy match. I remember it was one of the craziest matches I've ever seen. And then what happens? Now, this is I'm going to bring this out. I got to get y'all for this. What happens? He John Cena goes through one of the craziest matches ever, retains the title in the Elimination Chamber, and then, boom, you hear the music hit. Edge cashes in his Money in the Bank contract on an exhausted John Cena, beating down John Cena, who just had a grueling match, exhausting match, right? Dude's got, like, 2% battery in him. And Edge basically just, like, takes the title. Like, he literally goes down. John Cena's shook, exhausted. He can't fight off Edge. Edge is on full battery, 100%, ready to go, ready to be the champ, right? Hits him with a spear, whatever he does, easily pins him, wins the title. But see, like, that moment right there, I was so mad. I was so mad at Edge. Like, that might have been a turning point. Bro, I was so sick. Like, I really do think that was a turning point for me with wrestling. Like, I think that was around the time where I started tuning out wrestling because I couldn't deal with it. Like, the Rated R era, and now he's the champ, and John Cena got smoked for the title, and that was some bullshit. Like, I was so mad, and I think that was the turning point. I don't remember watching too much wrestling from that point. That's, like, my last memory of a match was that one. So what I'm trying to say to y'all is that nowadays that type of surprise gets ruined, and these wrestling journalists will just break that news to you before it happens. And it's like, dog, why are y'all doing this? Why are you putting out what's supposed to happen before it fucking happens? You know what I mean? That irritates me so bad. It's like, because I saw that. You know what I mean? I saw that news, and I saw those fucking dumbass accounts, and I can't stand any of them, putting out that news saying, oh, CM Punk, you know, to return at Survivor Series. And you know what? And I didn't bring it up to you. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm not going to say that to Lee. I'm a real one. I'm not going to ruin it. You know what I mean? Maybe he saw it. Yeah, maybe you did see it. maybe whoever else I know that watches wrestling did see it, but I wasn't going to be the one to continue on that cycle of breaking news that shouldn't be broken for an entertainment business, entertainment show that is built on that surprise factor. And that's a whole part of the experience and the excitement and the enjoyment of it. It's supposed to be you not knowing. So the fact that they broke that news, and I knew that and that there was very likely CM Punk would return to Survivor Series, when I saw it, I was so happy for everybody knowing that I didn't ruin it for anybody.
Yeah, it had been talked about for a minute. It had been talked about since he got fired from AEW that he'll be coming back to WWE. You know, man, especially being that it was in his hometown of Chicago. But, you know, man, I just feel like he's a good talent. He's a good talent. You can't take that away from him. But he's a knucklehead when it comes to the locker room and his backstage antics. That's why he isn't in AEW no more, because he couldn't go along to get along. And in wrestling, sometimes you got to go along to get along. I don't really read those reports as far as like basically what they call them, dirt sheets. Basically, they always try to be the first one to, you know, put a story out there. You know, CM Punk is going to, he was backstage at WrestleMania and, you know, shit like that, you know, just to get people to read it and click on it or whatever. I really don't get into those too much. I've been watching wrestling so long that basically I'm either going to guess what's going to happen, or they gonna swerve me. I'd rather be swerved than for me to guess what's gonna happen, because when I'm guessing what's gonna happen, then probably 80% of everybody that's watching it guess the same thing. So we'll see how it play out with him coming back. But I know read a couple of things about some of the wrestlers aren't happy that he's there. But like he said at the end of his promo Monday night, he know how to make money. And making money is making money for the company, making money for itself. So we'll see what happens, bro.
I mean, I want to bring up one more thing, and it's not related to that. Shout out to AEW, by the way. I did see that, Edge thing, and what's the other guy's name? Darby Allin.
Oh, Darby Allin, yes.
Yeah, Darby Allin. I did watch some of the clips back, and I did tap in and see that they did beat Christian Luchasaurus and
Nick Cage.
The other guy's name?
Nick Cage.
No, that's not him. What's his name? Oh, Nick Wayne.
Nick Wayne.
Yeah. So they did beat them in that 3-on-3 match at Full Gear. So I was happy about that. So, and I'm happy about CM Punk. I'm happy they're all happy. I just hate the wrestling journalists, man. That bothers me so bad that's the way that culture is today. So that would have ruined so much stuff for me back in the day. I'm glad I didn't grow up with social media, because that would have ruined a lot of shit. But, yeah, shout out to AEW. I'm still tuned in, and I haven't been watching the clips as much lately, but I need to tap back in and get caught up and see what's going on. But I've still been watching a little bit. And the thing that I want to say is UFC 295, one more point I want to make here. I think it was UFC 295. If not, it was one of the cards after that. My girl, Amanda Ribas, hold up. Actually, two things. Amanda Ribas and Lupita Godinez. Lee, what did I tell you about Lupita Godinez, bro?
What's the tell me?
What your boy Q say about Lupita Godinez, bro? I told you she's coming for all the belts. Lupi's that. Come on. Lupi, and she won that. She beat Tabitha Ritchie in that fight. She beat Tabitha Ritchie in that fight. That's your girl. She beat her down. And And it is what it is. So Lupi Godinez won her fight, and my girl Amanda Ribas won her fight in a big come-from-behind win, and she knocked the girl out. Did you see that?
Yep, right.
It was last weekend. So she knocked her out in the third round. Man, how long I've been talking about Amanda Ribas, bro. Come on. When they gonna
you've been talking about it for a while.
When they gonna put respect on it? She's great. And then Lupi Godinez is great too. I don't even know if they're in the same division or not. I'm getting lost on that. I don't even know. They might be. But hey, I mean, if they're in the same division, do that fight down the line. Do that fight, you know, do that one later. Let them keep fighting other girls and, you know, keep winning. And then we could do that fight later. I like that one. Let that one build up. I think so, because they're both really good, man. Amanda Ribas was losing that fight, bro. You saw it?
Yeah, I saw the highlights of it, but when I'm looking at the stats, yeah, she was getting beat up. But I think one of the reasons that she kind of been out of sight, out of mind, because she's alternated wins and losses in her last six fights. She's been lost, win, lost, win, lost, win. So, you know, and then is the people that she lost to all the good fighters, though. She lost to Marina Rodriguez. She lost to Caitlin Chikugan. And she lost to Macy Barber. So, hey, those are fights. Hey, she beat Mackenzie Dern. She beats Paige Van Dant. She beat Aruha. And then she beat the girl that she just fought the other day. So, I mean, you got to give her due. So, yeah, give her a do.
Yeah.
But she has been stringing together some wins, though.
What?
Yeah. She just needs to string together some wins, that's all. But that I want to say this is the – she in the strong weight. She should better string together some wins in the strong weight division.
Hey, man, it's fine with me because – all those girls have been they haven't been stringing together too many wins either. Caitlin Chukagan, didn't she fight for the belt? She got beat down.
She got beat down.
Yeah, that was bad. So it's quiet for Caitlin Chukagan, bro. She beat Amanda Ribas, but what'd she do since then? I've seen her losing. I've seen her getting finished. So that's fine. And who's the other one? None of them. Macy Barber has been up and down, too. I remember when she was undefeated. But you know,
yeah,
she got checked a couple times.
Ever since she had that baby.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is that Mackenzie Dern has pretty much been the opposite. Pretty much ever since Mackenzie Dern had her baby and then she had her divorce, she's pretty much been smacking girls. She's pretty much – I mean, I know she just lost to Andrade, but – before that,
she was winning.
She was on a roll since then, since she had her baby, which was like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
She was winning. She won a couple of fights in that time. And then Andrade, I mean, that fight was disappointing to me, man. Dern, man, that really hurt your boy Keys, bro. I was sad, man. I had Dern. That ended my night for me, man. I had Dern that crashed my parlays out. You know what I mean? That really messed up a lot because I really thought, I was like, Dern's going to smoke Andrade, man. I'm like, Andrade's done. I was like, Andrade is old news, yesterday's paper, you know? And
but Mackenzie didn't fight a smart fight, though.
And well, that,
she
yeah,
didn't try to take her down.
It.
Yeah, she just didn't fight a smart fight in that. I mean, everybody know that Mackenzie Dern is good on the mat. Okay, she was 0-for-4 on takedowns. But sometimes you just can't go balls to the wall to try to take somebody down. Sometimes you got to use feints, fake punches, you know, wait on them to throw a punch, change level, boom, takedown, you know, stuff like that. You just can't go balls to the wall to try to take somebody down. A veteran like Jessica Andrade, she knows that you're going to try to take her down. So guess what she's going to do? She's going to put her back on the fence. She's going to make you have to pull off the fence, take her down, and it just didn't work. And another thing I noticed about Mackenzie, man, is she's a good fighter, but she really don't want to, you know, mix it up in the stand-up. You know, because you look at the fighters, once again, she done fought everybody, but if you look at who she's lost to, they are all good. They are all well-rounded fighters. She lost to Jessica Andrade. She lost to Yan Jianing, the little Chinese girl. She lost to Marina Rodriguez. And all of them, basically, you know, they can get it done. So it's just all that Mackenzie, man. I still like her. I think it's some things she needs to work on, but, hey, sometimes you lose to the better fighter, dog, and it just wasn't her night. But don't be afraid to fight to your strengths, but you might have to work on ways to incorporate your strengths instead of just trying to bull rush in and get the takedown. But moving on, Keith, I got to ask you about this. All right, PFL just bought Bellator. I know we talked about this, but I got to ask you this, man. Why haven't PFL and Bellator came out and announced the date of Kayla Harrison versus Cyborg? That fight, once you announced that you were buying Bellator, which you already knew you was doing, you should have already talked to both ladies and had a date set up of your first event and with them headlining that event. Bruh, they are dropping the ball on this. Basically, they're saying that the fight is going to happen, but it's going to happen sometime in the near future. What's the near future? Is that the first quarter, the second quarter, fight weekend? What are we doing? I just don't understand the business behind that, bro. That should have been, once you announced you was buying Bellator, your second announcement should have been, and by the way, Kayla Harrison versus Cyborg will be happening, la, 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 la. You got to get fans behind this product, man. Most of us really care for the B-leagues as it is. Give us a reason to care now. I mean, you got your PFL guys. You got the Bellator guys. Are you going to have the PFL guys fight the Bellator guys? I mean, come on, give us something. Give us something to be excited about with this merger. How you feel about this, bro?
Yeah, I mean, you should have. They should have came right out the gate and announced that. It should have been with the announcement. It should have been buy your tickets here, is what it should have said. You know what I mean? It should have said,
yeah. The link is below.
Yes, bro. Yes. It should have been boom. It should have been a two-part press release. You should have had page one officially merged, put the logo there, boom. And then right after it should say, and, you know, our first event, you put the flyer for that first event, right? So whatever the name of it is, BFL or whatever the fuck is going to be. Put that up and say, we got BFL 302, and because they just had Bellator 301, so do BFL 302 and Cyborg versus Kayla, or Cyborg versus Kayla Harrison. Buy your tickets here, live from MGM Grand, Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And then you put the date and you say January 16th. Boom, thing is gonna fly because we're going into December this week. That gives you, yep, you know, a nice month and a half. Boom, and we already know that they knew about it. That gives them plenty of time. There it is. That's what they should have did.
Yeah, they dropped the ball on this, man. And it's like you got to strike when the iron is hot. And they just didn't do it on this one. And I think it might come back to bite them if they don't have a good good first card. So we'll see what happens, man. All right,
but,
Keith.
But
speaking
let,
of Bellator,
let me say this
go
real
ahead.
Quick. Let me just say this real quick. I don't really know where Kayla Harrison is at. You know what I mean? Like, fighting Cyborg? Like, I'm not really tapped in with the PFL. I know Kayla Harrison is there. She's fought. But, like, the level of competition. Like, Pacheco is – the girl Pacheco is there. That's the girl that recently gave Kayla Harrison her first loss was Pacheco. And she's pretty scary. But, again, against what level of competition, though? Like, we don't really know how good they are because you haven't fought the best. You're fighting girls in PFL. Who are these people? I mean, like, we don't know these people that you're beating in PFL. So, realistically, it's like when she fights Cyborg, man, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
That's a scary one, bro. That's a scary one. Cyborg might give her a tap on the head. That might be it, man. I mean,
yeah, it's a step
Kayla
up in
Harrison,
competition for sure.
Who has she fought? You know that, like, yeah, that's a big fight, but like, it's a scary fight too. Cyborg's fought the highest level. You know, she's fought Holly Holm. She fought, you know, all the Amanda Nunes. She fought all these girls. You know, everybody in Bellator. She fought, you know, all the best girls there. Like. And they're not even on the UFC level, but still, I mean, she fought Kat Zingano, that she just, like, Cyborg is battle-tested. We've seen it, you know.
Yeah.
Her featherweight belt, I always critiqued her featherweight belt because who did she really have to contend with for the featherweight belt? I always thought that was kind of flimsy. But, I mean, overall, though, she did start to fight. You know, she fought Holly Holm. That was a featherweight title defense. You know, she gave Amanda Nunes the shot. So that was where the respect started coming in because at first it was like, okay, Cyborg, they're just giving her, like, these girls off, you know, from wherever, and she's beating them. But then she started beating the names. She started taking the big fights, and that's where I started to respect it more. I was like, okay, like, Cyborg puts in that work. And then so when you say it now, it's like, I don't know, bro. Kayla Harrison, you know, she might get stage fight in there. I don't know. Cyborg's different, man.
Yeah,
she might get stage fright, bro. That you could consider that an early prediction from Keys is Kayla Harrison gets stage fright in there, and she might, you know, she's gonna get a smack from Cyborg, and then we're gonna see where she's at when she takes a couple smacks. You know, we'll have to see. You know what I mean? So halfway through that first round, we're gonna see where she's at, and if she's even still standing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think because who Kayla Harrison just be Aspen Ladd. Aspen Ladd could barely make weight. Make weight when she was in the UFC.
Yeah, and she moved up to 150.
Yeah.
They fought at 150. I think they fought at 150, bro. I'm like, Aspen Ladd couldn't even make weight at 130. She was trying to make weight at 135. She was falling off the scale, like, every time. It was terrible. And then we were like, okay, so she has to move up to 145. Let's try to make 145. I know it was a short notice fight, but still, I think they fought at a 150 catch weight, bro. And Aspen Ladd, I never thought Aspen Ladd was that good. So, I mean, really?
Yeah. Hey, but, you know, speaking of Bellator, man, you sent me something interesting the other day. And I got to ask you, do you think it's fact or fiction? You sent me some, and it had Holland versus Venom Page on the board behind Dana White while he was doing the interview. You think that's fact or fiction, man? You think it's going to happen? You think it's wishful thinking? What's your thoughts on this one, bro? Because this is very, very – this, if it happens, wow.
I mean, MVP is another guy that, like, and now I'll be real. I doubted MVP a lot when he was winning fights in Bellator. And, I mean, because I don't really take Bellator seriously. I watch some of their fights. I like some of their fighters. But, I mean, in comparison to the UFC, it's like UFC is my house. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I live at. You know, Bellator, it's like, man, who are you really fighting in Bellator, bro, to be honest? And so I always kind of doubted MVP, you know what I mean? I was an MVP hater, and hey, I was right up until that point. because he was beating guys that really were just – they were just hyped. They weren't that great at comp. And then once he fought Douglas Lima the first time, Douglas Lima KO'd him, and I was like, see what I mean? He finally fights a guy that is on the level that he claims to be on, a championship-level guy, and Lima KO'd him. Now, I'm pretty sure MVP came back, and they fought a second time, and he beat Lima, so he redeemed it. I'm pretty sure that's true. To bare knuckle and got beat up by Mike Perry. So, see what I'm saying? It's like these dudes, like you guys love to say that like, oh, you say UFC, they're not UFC level. Yeah, because it makes sense. Look what happens. MVP went to go fight. They said Mike Perry was like an average middleweight. Right? Didn't they say? And I liked Mike Perry, except when they talked about the domestic abuse thing, and I don't know what happened. But besides that, they said he was an average middleweight when he was here. They said he wasn't that good. Some people hyped him, but a lot of people said he really wasn't that good. But clearly, he was good enough to beat MVP. And they said MVP was – they made him seem like he was the champion, like he was championship-level guy. He was about to beat everybody. And he lost to Mike Perry in bare knuckles. So what does that equal? When you fight a UFC level guy, you get checked. That's what happens. Yes or no?
Yeah, that's what happened.
So but, props to Mike Perry. It's not to say the MVP is a bum. Not a bum at all. I think he's very talented. But I was just trying to say, let's see him fight some real guys. And then when he fought Mike Perry, he lost. First UFC guy that he fought. And about the fight, and I know I got sidetracked on it. But Kevin Holland, they're talking about MVP versus Kevin Holland, right?
Yep.
I love that fight.
I love it too.
I love that fight, bro. That's a crazy fight. And I hope it happens. And I think that's a perfect fight for MVP to come into because you have another – you know what's so interesting about it too? Is like Kevin Holland is like those dudes kind of got a really similar body type if you look at
it. Yep.
I mean,
yep. Both are tall and lanky.
You had that same thought?
Yep.
You had that same thought as me. I was like, yo, that's so crazy. Look at that matchmaking. It's like they're almost like the same dude from like a different universe or something. Like Kevin Holland comes in, you know what I mean? Long, rangy striker, dog, junkyard dog style. You know what I mean? Kind of unorthodox with his attack, you know what I mean? Kind of, he'll fight with you on the mat. You know, he defends submissions really well. He's going to box you up on the feet. You know, like, very similar type deal. And MVP has those skills too, you know? MVP can fight on the mat too. And I know his wrestling, you know, hasn't looked that good, but I know, overall, very similar body type. Weird. Similar style.
Very similar. Yep. I think that's why they giving him – I ain't going to say giving him. I think that's why they make it Holland versus – if they do make it Holland versus Venom Page, it's because of that. It's because both guys really can't wrestle. Both guys, similar body frame. Both guys are loved by the fans. So I like it. I like the stylistic matchup. You know, only thing I would be worried about is Venom Page coming in there taking Holland slightly because Holland can put him night-night. So if this fight happens, oh, man, I'm there for it. I'm there for it, man. You know, this weekend – we got UFC 296. Not UFC 296. We got UFC Austin coming up this weekend. Keys and, man, this card is kind of like a pay-per-view card. I mean, just looking at the main event, Benil Dariush against Armas Sarukian, Jalen Turner, Bobby Green, Font, Figueiredo, Brady Gastelum. Come on, man. They got Clay Guida up here, dog. Misha Tate fighting. Jakar Close is fighting. Man, they got some names on this card, man. But the fight that just came together, man, that we're gonna talk about. Jalen Turbin, Bobby Green. I like this fight way more than I like Bobby Green versus Dan Hooker. You know how I feel about Dan Hooker. What are your thoughts on this Jalen Turner-Bobby Green fight, man?
I mean, that's crazy. That's dope matchmaking. Like, those are the fights where I'm like, yo, I love the game, man. I love this game. It makes me so excited, bro. I love when, like, even though like, I have a certain stance, like, with short-notice fights, like, when you really get down and it's like, okay, this guy's taking a fight on 3 days' notice. It's like, there's pros and cons. I dislike it and like it at the same time. But I love this, bro. I love when dudes step up and they want to challenge themselves. Jalen Turner's like, damn, what are you giving me, 10 days? I'm in there, bro. Let's go. And you know, Bobby Green will fight anybody, you know, on short notice, too. Bobby Green, you know, it's a short notice fight for both of them, if you think about it. I mean, Bobby Green had but it's a short notice for this opponent.
True.
You get what I'm saying? It's like Jalen Turner is – Jalen Turner is, I feel like that's a different fight than Dan Hooker, you know what I'm saying? Dan Hooker does a different thing. Jalen Turner is not, that's a different fight right there. So, I love
hey,
it, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yo, I'm looking at our timeline, man. And I want to say that they are saying that this Holland and Page fight is official. And it's happening the day before my birthday. Ain't that something? But, man, let's jump into this UFC Austin card, man. Hey, we're just going to make a couple predictions, man, because I think this card, I think it deserves that kind of love. I think you said Sean Brady is going to beat Kevin Gastelum. I think you said Gastelum might be over his prime, even though the odds maker has it as pretty much a pick'em fight. They got Brady as a -120 and Gastelum as a +100. But let's move to the next fight, man. We got Deiveson Figueiredo making his bantamweight debut going against Rob Font. Keys, man. The UFC didn't do Figueiredo any favors welcoming him into the bantamweight division with this Rob Font fight. How you feel about this fight and who wins, bro?
You know, at first I thought I was going Rob Font, and now I'm going to go with Figgy to win it. I just have a feeling. I'm not gonna try to break it down for you. I'm gonna just say, I just got that feeling. I think he's gonna win this one.
I want to go with Font, but I know Figueiredo can fight on the mat as well. The part I'm interested in is seeing how he looks at 135, how his body looks at 135. You know, when he maintained the same speed that he had down at 125. But I think his skills will translate. You know what? You pick Figueiredo. I'm going to go against you on this one, although everything in me tell me Figueiredo going to win. I'm gonna say Ron Font wins, man. I'm going to say Ron Font wins a close fight. He pulls it out in the third round. I say they split the first two rounds, and then Font turns it up in the third round, and he pulls out the win in the third round. All right, Keys. Now, this is the big one, man. Jalen Turner, Bobby Green. Now, Keys, the batting line has Turner as the favorite. The bad line has Turner as a -210 and Bobby Green as a +175. Who you got, bro?
I gotta go Bobby Green, bro. I can't. Jalen Turner's good, but nah, bro. I can't do it with the 10 days notice, man. I don't think that's enough. Bobby Green's not just Jalen Turner, because my thing is, I don't think Jalen Turner is like that much better than Bobby Green to where he's gonna smoke him on 10 days. I just don't see it. Like Jalen Turner, I do think is slept on, but I don't think 10 days notice, bro. I don't think 10 days beats Bobby Green. You gotta be like, that's like Islam or something gonna beat Bobby Green on 10 days. Like, and Islam don't even fight on 10 days. Don't even let me get on that topic, but I don't see it, bro. I'm gonna go Bobby Green.
Oh man, I'll go on Bobby Green too. I think Bobby he's on fire again. The way he defeated Grant Dawson in the first round, and then coming back for this fight, I like Bobby Green. I think him and Jalen gonna put on a show, cause both of them can punch. But I think it's gonna be the guy who can counterpunch and switch it up by leading at times is the one that's going to win this fight. And I think Bobby Green will do that. And then we had a main event where my man Keys has definitely been vocal on Twitter about this. Beneil Dariush taking on Armin Sarukian. This fight here, I'm looking for the batting line, but I want to say Sarukian is the favorite. And I don't know why. Maybe it's a pick'em because they don't have. Well, normally if it was a pick'em, they'll still have like 1-1 or something like that. Keys, can Beneil Dariush do it again? Can he start another win streak?
I think so, bro. I think he will. I think, and I want to go back and change my pick too. I want to change my Sean Brady pick to Kevin Gastelum. I think Kelvin Gastelum is going to beat him. Yeah, I want to go back. I've been winning on a lot of favorites, you know, since betting since July, but and not every one of these do I have a bet on at this moment. But this is like the most live underdogs I've seen on a card ever. Like at least since I've been betting, you know, since July, this is the most dominant underdog cards. Like these are solid underdogs. Like Kelvin Gastelum's a junkyard dog, you know what I mean? Like look at his Adesanya fight. I mean, I think Whitaker beat him down, but he was in there though, you know. I think that was a 25 minute fight too, but yeah, I think Kelvin Gastelum can beat him, bro. I think Kelvin Gastelum, I think Figgy underdog, and I think Bobby Green underdog. I think this might be the underdog card, bro. And I'm not telling you those are bets. I'm just saying those are my picks.
Okay.
Oh. And how'd I forget? And I got Dariush, who's also the underdog. I think Dariush is being slept on. He went on a huge win streak, and dudes are out there saying, oh, he gets finished early. I'm like, what? When's the last time he only got finished by Oliveira, who's debatably the best 155er on the planet. What are you talking about? Former champion, the King Olives. Don't act like Oliveira is not as good as he is, bro. Don't try to say Dariush is trash just because he got beaten by the best guy. You know what I mean? He got beaten by the best guy. It's like Oliveira and Islam are like the two best guys. It's like you losing to them is not that crazy. You know, so Dariush went on like, what, 10-fight win streak before that? And now they're saying he's a plus 235 underdog to Armin Sarukian? What? Armin Sarukian had a firefight with Mateus Gamrot. And Beneil Dariush beat Gamrot down.
Yep.
Beneil Dariush dominated Mateus Gamrot, made him look like a fool. And Armin Sarukian had a firefight with Gamrot. So what are y'all talking about to me with plus 235 underdog? Beneil Dariush is about to remind everybody how good he is. Unanimous decision.
Okay. And I'm going to say Dariush finishes him, bro. I think it's a 5-round fight. I'm going to go with Dariush with a 3rd-round finish, bro. I think he finishes them, and he starts a new win streak. Darius is just one of them guys, man, that he steps up for the competition. Like you said, losing to Charles Oliveira ain't a bad thing. Charles Oliveira was looked at as the top fighter in this weight division for almost 2 years. So losing to him ain't a bad thing. But, yeah, man, I'm going with Darius to win this fight in dominating fashion. Third round KO. And, you know, I can't wait to see him fight, man. Did I tell you that Miesha Tate was on this card?
Oh yeah, Miesha's on that. I don't even know, bro. That's I don't know how that's gonna be at, but I'm gonna just watch it and enjoy.
Yeah, she's on this card. She's fighting in the prelim main event. But hey, everybody, thank you for listening to checking us out tonight. We call this show the Catch Up Show because we had to do a lot of catching up. You know, it's been a while since we jumped on. You know, the holiday season is full effect, but you know, we'll definitely be back Wednesday because I know we need to talk about the fallout from this UFC Austin card and what these fights mean moving forward. That being said, Keys, you got any last words, bro?
Nah, just, I didn't have a Miesha Tate prediction because I just really don't know. I mean, I haven't looked into that fight enough. I don't know how she's going to look. You know, she used to be really good, and then she's looked kind of okay. So I don't have a pick. I'm just going to watch it, and then we can just recap and talk about the way she looked, you know, next week. You know, the recap show was dope. It was good. We got caught up to speed. I wanted to talk about the Mike Perry versus Eddie Alvarez bare knuckle fight, which is happening this weekend, but it's all good. We'll recap it on the next one. That's a fight I'll definitely be trying to tune into this weekend if I can. And yeah,
I got Mike Perry winning that fight. I think Mike Perry
winning
that fight.
Perry winning that fight. There you have it. And
I think he's found a home with bare knuckle. I think he's found a home. He found a company that loves him, that supports him. So, I like Mike Perry in this fight.
Yes, sir. And I just think, Mike Perry it is. And all my one thing I got is just take care of your mental health. I mean, I've been struggling with it a lot myself lately. You know, we haven't got on, like, shows in, like, 3, 4, maybe 5 weeks. And it's difficult. You know, it's definitely difficult. Just take care of your mental health for sure. I don't have too much else than that. It's definitely a difficult time of year. So, yeah, just stay focused and take care of yourself. That's all I got.
All right, that being said, everybody have a great weekend. The weather is changing. Make sure you dress appropriately, you know, as far as wearing a coat, sweater, hoodie. You know, make sure you stay warm. Take care of you. Take care of others. As always, we end the show with a peace.